he served as the chairperson for the North America GBC executive team, which oversees all ISKCON temples across North America. He also serves as the GBC of 5 states in the USA. Under his strong leadership, the Hare Krishna temple in Dallas is flourishing leaps and bounds. His Guru Maharaj asked him to serve the community by taking the role of the temple president. Since then, Nityanand Prabhuji has introduced different ways to make the community stronger. He comes from a strong political background from Fiji, which is definitely seen in his leading in the community to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. Under his guidance, the Kirtan 50 took a total different level. We have seen this in 2016. His classes are an unlimited source of motivation. Being a member of the GBC, he travels a lot and so does his preaching. He inspires each and every community member by his knowledge and the Shastras and his simple yet thought-provoking classes. His perfect temple president who trusts on his community and encourages new ways of preaching, be it in the UTD campus or the Sankirtan parties. Nityan Prabhuji, along with his wife Manjuri Mataji, are serving the Dallas community to more than their capacity. They are a perfect example how one can follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It's Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji for your service attitude, and we are really, really fortunate to be under your shelter over here. I hand over the call to you, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I'll start with this. Thank you for your words, by the way. I don't deserve those words. It's quite embarrassing here than hearing those words. But I'll start with the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, which is entitled, Canto 4 is entitled The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 21. Text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the verse. Sarvatra Sakhilat Deshaha Sapta Dvipeka Dandadrik Anyatra Brahmana Kulad Anyatra Chitta Gotraha. Sarvatra, everywhere. Askilata, irrevocable. Adeshaha, order. Saptadvipa, 7 islands. Eka, 1. Dandadrik, the ruler who holds the scepter. Anyatra, except. Brahmana Kulat, Brahmanas and saintly persons. Anyatra, except. Achyuta Gotraha, descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaishnavas. Translation. Maharaj Pithu was an unrivaled king and possessed the scepter for ruling all the 7 islands on the surface of the globe. No one could disobey his irrevocable orders, but the saintly persons, the Brahmanas, and the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vaishnavas. Purport. Saptadvipa refers to the 7 great islands or continents on the surface of the globe. 1 is Asia, 2 Europe, 3 Africa, 4 North America, 5 South America, 6 Australia, and 7 Oceania. In the modern age, people are under the impression that during the Vedic period or the prehistoric ages, America and many other parts of the world had not been discovered. But that is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj ruled over the world many thousands of years before the so-called prehistoric age. And it is clearly mentioned here that in those days, not only were all the different parts of the world known, but they were ruled by one king, Maharaj Prithu. The country where Maharaj Prithu resided must have been India, because it is stated in the 11th verse of this chapter that he lived in the tract of land between the rivers Ganges and Yamuna. This tract of land, which is called Brahmavarta, consists of what is known...
Please mute the phone, Dandavat Pranam.
This tract of land, which is called Brahmavarta, consists of what is known in the modern age as portions of Punjab and northern India. It is clear that the kings of India once ruled all the world and that their culture was Vedic. The word askhilata indicates that orders by the king could not be disobeyed by anyone in the entire world. Such orders, however, were never issued to control saintly persons or descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. The Supreme Lord is known as Achyuta, and Lord Krishna is addressed as such by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapya Me Achyuta. Achyuta refers to one who does not fall because he is never influenced by the modes of material nature. When a living entity falls down to the material world from his original position, he becomes Chyuta, which means that he forgets his relationship with Achyuta. Actually, every living entity is part and parcel or a son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When influenced by the modes of material nature, a living entity forgets this relationship and thinks in terms of different species of life. But when he again comes to his original consciousness, he does not observe such bodily designations. This is indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 18, by the words Panditaha Samadarshanaha. Material designations create different differentiation in terms of caste, color, creed, nationality, etc. Different gotras or family designations are distinctions in terms of the material body. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he immediately becomes one of the Achyuta gotra or descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus becomes transcendental to all considerations of caste, creed, color, and nationality. Prithu Maharaj had no control over the Brahman Kula, which refers to the learned scholars in Vedic knowledge, nor over the Vaishnavas, who are above the considerations of Vedic knowledge. It is therefore said, Archye Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhir Vishnur Va Vaishnavanam Kalamala Mathane Padatirthe Ambu Buddhihi Sri Vishnu Namni Mantre Sakala Kulasha He Shabda Samanya Buddhir Vishnu Sarvesvareshe Tad Itara Samadhir Yasya Va Naraki Saha. Quote, one who thinks the deity in the temple to be made of wood or stone, who thinks of the spiritual master in the disciplic succession as an ordinary man, who thinks the Vaishnava in the Achyuta Gotra to belong to a certain caste or creed, or who thinks of Charanamrita or Ganges water as ordinary water, is taken to be a resident of hell. Close quotes. This is from the Padma Purana. From the facts presented in this verse, it appears that people in general should be controlled by a king until they come to the platform of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, who are not under the control of anyone. Brahmana refers to one who knows Brahman, or the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, and a Vaishnava is one who serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtayane Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rup Kadamajam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vanchakalpaturbhascha Kripasandubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Namne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshtayane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is likened to the mature fruit or the most relishable fruit of the Vedic tree. And as we read earlier on in Canto 1, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, who is the author of the Vedas, was feeling unsatisfied after he'd written all the Vedas. And he was wondering why he was feeling dissatisfaction. So when his spiritual master met him, he approached his spiritual master to ask what may be the reason why he was feeling his despondency. So Narada Muni described to him, Srila Narada Muni described to him that you have written everything there is to know in the Vedas, and you've written extensively about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how you've written it creates a bit of confusion because you've said so many things that also sound very important. And yet the most important thing in all of your writings is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that every living entity is a servant, a child, a friend of Krishna. In different verses, different things are described. Krishna is described as the Lord of every living entity. In the scriptures, he's described as the father of every living entity. He's also described as the greatest lover or the best friend of all living entities. But you have not singularly stressed this point in a way that it becomes absolutely clear. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly states that he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him everything emanates. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartate iti madhva abhijante maam buddha bhava samanvita. And that every living entity is his part and parcel and his servant. In the scriptures it is described that jivera sarupa hoye nityara Krishna das. And Krishna also describes mame vamsa jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. And then he also describes that every living entity is his child. Aham bija pradapitaha, Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of every living entity. So these points are the most important points that you should have stressed. So you should write a commentary on all of the Vedas, which will be written by you, so it's an auto-commentary, that will be about Krishna. So the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking, and Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam relates to Krishna. And so now it became very clear to the whole creation that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, ete cham sarvakala, Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. And that each and every one of us, as it is said in this verse also, originally emanated from the spiritual world, and that we actually fell down to the material world. Now there's some disagreement on this issue. Some feel that we were not in Golok Vrindavan, we were just elements of the material sky, and then from the material sky, and elements of the spiritual sky, and that from the spiritual sky we fall down to the material elements. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada very clearly supports the knowledge, that the transcendental knowledge, that actually we are originally from the spiritual planet of Golok Vrindavan. And in fact, there are also in other scriptures designations given of how the residents of Golok Vrindavan never leave Golok Vrindavan. Who leaves are the expansions, just like Krishna never leaves Golok Vrindavan. Radharani never leaves Golok Vrindavan, but who leaves when we see Krishna outside of Golok Vrindavan is an expansion. The expansion has the same power as the original, but the original never leaves Golok Vrindavan, because that's the way the arrangement was made, that everything is there in Golok Vrindavan. There's nothing that is missing, so everybody can be happy. And why they leave Golok Vrindavan? Prabhupada describes in our case to be momentary foolishness. We are risk takers, and we thought that we'll just go out and check things out outside. Of course, Krishna himself comes out because we come out. So Krishna comes out as well to bring us back. Pritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha diskritam. Krishna says that I come actually to show my love to my devotees so that they will come back home again. And once they remember the past times, they'll remember me and come back home again. But here in this particular part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about creation, a description is given of Prithu Maharaj, who was an amazing, amazing emperor, amazing king, because every part of planet Earth was under his rulership. So he is described here that he ruled over the world many thousands of years before the so-called prehistoric age. And the reason there is this differentiation between those who follow scripture and those who follow other methods is that there are two types of knowledge. There's prama and aprama. Prama means knowledge which is true for all people at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. These are the four variable factors whenever we're dealing with knowledge. Whereas aprama is true for some people in some places, under some circumstances, and at some times, like that. So prama itself, which is perfect knowledge or eternal knowledge, actually emanates from what is called vad. Vad means that empirically we can actually show something to be true, that there's empiric evidence, that there is descending logic, support from descending logic. And third, that there is support from the scriptures. So when these three line up, that is called vad. And sometimes we talk about guru, sadhu, and sastra lining up as well. But guru, sadhu, and sastra also follow vad. Even Krishna quotes scripture when he is speaking, because he wants to make sure that we understand everything from the point of view of reality, which is empiric evidence, from the point of view of descending knowledge, which means knowing everything, we can talk about a part of it. Ascending knowledge, if you know a little part, then we can from that postulate what must be true universally, but that doesn't always work properly. There are lots of fallacies in that situation. So therefore, we talk about descending knowledge, which means coming down from perfect, complete knowledge. And knowledge is completely perfect. Om Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam, Padachyate, like that. And then thirdly, that scripture or the pronouncements of the Lord, Dharmantu Sakshat, Bhagavat Pranikthan, that everything that is in scripture is spoken by the Lord himself. So here we can see that in this verse, there are many important points made, but one important point that I want to stress on in this talk of mine, and when you ask questions, we can go into other aspects of the same verse. Each of these verses are very, very powerful. One can speak for months and months and months on each and every one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because as Srila Sanatana Goswami says, that every syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam pours down a flood of prema. And ultimately, everything in this world is run by what is called the fifth note of the flute of Krishna. And we hear this, we learn about this in the Venu Gita. And the fifth note is the note of love, and it's Radharani's favorite note. When the flute is played, then the whole world becomes conscious. It moves. If the flute stops playing, everything will freeze like that. And the fifth note creates this love, which is love of Krishna. And this love is what sustains the world. It actually, there's consciousness, but then there's something that sustains the world. And what sustains the world is love of Krishna. And so, for every aspect of love of Krishna, all the different facets, it's like a diamond. Love of Krishna is like a diamond, a very large diamond, which has many, many facets to it. And so, of these different facets, love of Krishna is the most powerful, because it contains all the facets. And every syllable, Sanatana Goswami Maharaj says, that every syllable actually pours down a flood of prema. So if we just look at the first line of this verse where it says, Sarvatras Kalita Desha. So Sarva has two syllables. Tras is one more, that's three. Ka is four. Lit is five, R is six, De is seven, and Shaha is eight and nine. So there are nine syllables in just the first line of this verse. And every one of those syllables pours down a flood of prema. So you can imagine how one can speak for more than a month just on the first line, Sarvatras Kalita Deshaha. If one analyzes that statement, just that word, one word that is stated with those nine syllables, one can actually speak for a very long time just on that one part. So obviously, every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam contains in it amazing, amazing amounts of knowledge. So I'm not, in this talk of mine today, I'll just speak about one part, because for me, I only speak things that that have been indicated to me by the Lord. If I feel that in my heart the Lord wants me to say something, I will say it. If He doesn't say it, then I just don't say it. Even though, like today, I was requested to speak about how I joined Hare Krishna and things like that. But I agreed to do that. But then after I chant the invocation prayers, the mode I go into is I'll only speak what I'm inspired to by the Lord from within the heart, like that, Guru and Krishna, from within the heart. From within the heart there's Paramatma. Paramatma, Prabhupada said, represents Krishna, the spiritual master, and all of their associates. So unless they give indication, we don't speak, because otherwise we'll be speaking something from the mind, and we'd rather speak from the heart. The spiritual heart, because that makes much more sense and it'll create much more effect. But at some stage, I will speak about it in one of the talks that I will give. I will speak that just so that I will do it, but it'll happen whenever the time is indicated to me by the Lord Himself and by Guru. So, and the associates. And so, in this one talk today, I wanted to stress this one aspect of how the laws of this world, which are set by the ruler, and the word he has used is askalita, the laws of this world cannot be disobeyed by anyone. Even Prabhupada told us, Srila Prabhupada told us that one should not break any law, no matter how minor. Don't break laws. It's not worth it. We can do so many things. Stay within the law and do so many things. But the scriptures very clearly state that the laws of this world do not apply to the Brahmins and to saintly persons and to Vaishnavas like that. So why? Why would the law not apply to these three groups of people? So for that, we have to look at our families. And in our families, for those of us who are married and have family, I in a family, or of course we're all from some family anyway. In a family, there are so many things that happen that are according to the etiquette of family life. But we see that many times that etiquette is not observed by babies, say, for example, those who are babies. They don't observe the etiquette because they're still babies. Sometimes the parents don't follow the etiquette because they are considered to be the leaders of the family, and so sometimes they're allowed to do things differently like that. And even sometimes the children, intelligent children, those who are smart, those who are very obedient, sometimes they may do something that is actually maybe considered to be disobedient, but actually nobody thinks there's disobedience. They understand there must have been a reason, and everybody remains happy. So similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a point that is stressed very, very clearly is that Krishna very, very much loves all of his people, every living entity. Every living entity is a person, and this is the difference between Hare Krishna, the faith in Hare Krishna, the religion of Hare Krishna, and other faiths, other religious movements, that we are very, very fiercely personal about everything. And so in this fierce personality, we see everyone as an individual, and an individual that is totally loved by Krishna. In fact, the description is given that in the spiritual planet of Golok Vrindavan, that every person has Krishna. There's a Krishna for each person. And that each person sees Krishna with him or her all the time, not with others, but with him or her personally. This is Krishna's mystic opulence, that he wants to show his love in a way that he is always with us, each and every one of us, and he loves us much more than we can ever love him. Now, we do try to defeat him with our love, especially when we go back to Golok Vrindavan. The devotees there are very powerful, so they compete with Krishna and show more love to him than he shows, and then Krishna shows more love than they do, and so it spirals up like that with more and more love being shown to one another. But even in this world, we see that there are devotees who show amazing love to Krishna. One example is Srila Prabhupada. We can only imagine how the deities all over the world must be feeling so indebted to Srila Prabhupada that he introduced them all over the world, he introduced the name of Krishna all over the world, made it a household name. I'm sure the deities are scratching their heads and figuring out how we're going to repay Srila Prabhupada for all that he has done for us. That is why sometimes amongst us devotees we say that the magic mantra in this world is a four-syllable mantra, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. If you say Prabhupada, you are actually invoking a magic mantra. Many things will happen if you invoke the name Prabhupada. And it's actually very true. For those of us who are preaching, we know because we invoke Srila Prabhupada, our preaching becomes successful despite our own shortcomings and issues that we have. So here, these exceptions that are made on the basis that Krishna wants to give total freedom to those who love him. Now, why total freedom to those who love him? Because that is what love means. Love means you must have total freedom. If there is any restriction on the freedom, then there is control. There is not love. In love, there cannot be control. Now, you can be controlled by love, but it is love that will control, not anything else. So for pure love to exist, there has to be pure free will, like that, pure free choice. And so Krishna gives that choice to those who prefer to love him, as opposed to those who prefer to deal with him in awe and reverence. Because everybody directly or indirectly relates with Krishna. Nobody can say, I have nothing to do with Krishna. That's pure ignorance. Krishna very clearly says, everybody serves me directly or indirectly. In the Bhagavad Gita, this is clearly stated. And scientifically, this can be proven. You can do a whole class or a whole seminar on proving the point that every living entity is intimately connected to Krishna. In that intimacy, there are two ways to show the intimacy. One is by on reverence, and the second is by love. And Krishna prefers love. As Narayana, he prefers on reverence, because that is the role of Lord Narayana. He is the supreme personality of controller Godhead. And Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of lover Godhead. So Krishna is more into the love aspect. So Bhagavatam is about Lord Krishna. And so everything should be seen in relationship to Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here he's clearly encouraging us, and Prabhupada very, very mercifully, very kindly states in the purport that those of us who decided to join the Hare Krishna movement, who decided to join the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, become actually Vaishnavas. We become Vaishnavas, or the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We join the Sampradaya, which is if we understand the word Sampradaya, it is a descendant group of personalities from one spiritual master to the next, to the next, to the next. And into the future, there will be many, many, many spiritual masters. And Lord Krishna, when he is at his best, he's known as Gauranga, because Krishna actually, his most important or most relishable activity is to love Radharani. There's nothing that he loves doing more than loving Radharani. So when his love for Radharani overflows, then his limbs change to her color. Instead of being bluish black, they become golden white, like that in color. And she is known as Gaurangi, and so therefore he gets the name Gauranga, like that. And so Gauranga is Krishna at his very best. And sometimes, for people to understand that, I give the example of how in Vastu Puja, when we're doing Vastu Puja, one of the things we do when somebody buys a new house is what is called Vastu Puja, and also a puja for Griha Pravesha. So at that time, milk is put in a pot, and then the milk is boiled until it overflows the pot. And the pot, whatever the color of the pot is, imagine if the pot was a black pot. Or in India, what happens is because in the villages they heat the pot with wood fire, the soot actually turns the pot black. But in America, there are pots that are also colored black, or because there's gas-fired ovens and electrical ovens. So the soot doesn't form on the... but then the color of the pot might be, say, black. And when the milk overflows, the pot looks white. It doesn't look black anymore because the milk covers the pot. So similarly, when Krishna's love overflows his limbs, then his limbs turn to a golden color and he becomes known as Gauranga. And this happens even in the pastimes of union, not just in pastimes of separation. So it happens in Golok Vrindavan. Also, not just in Navadvipa, like that. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu's number one instruction is Amara Gyan Guru Hana Tarai Desh, Jarita Kitarika Krishna Padesh. And he couples it with another one so that we know what we are gurus about by saying, Prithivite Achyata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Morana. That he says that every person must become a guru, meaning a Siksha Guru, and whoever we speak to or approach or relate with, somehow or the other, we impress them with Krishna consciousness. And what is this Krishna consciousness? Then he says, in every town and village, my glories will be sung. Pitavidyachi yatha nagaradigram sarvatra pachar huibe moranam. So like that. So this idea of Sankirtan, the idea of reaching out to people. And how can you do Sankirtan? We can do Sankirtan in an unlimited number of ways. And one of the most important and powerful ways given by the Acharyas is to express affection to other living entities. Be affectionate to other living entities. And affectionate means there are two aspects to it. There's the aspect of compassion and there's the aspect of tolerance. That we're always very compassionate to every living entity, and we are tolerant because the living beings may not deal with us properly and the situation may not be conducive. And so it might be challenging, miserable, hurtful, stressful, etc. But we tolerate those things because we know that by giving out this love of Krishna to others, which is what Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, wants us to do, he says, I'm a gardener and I have this wonderful mango tree. Mango is considered the king of fruit. And this mango tree delivers mangoes that even do not even have a seed in the middle and have no skin. So it's just pure pulp and it's most relishable. And there's so many of these fruits. I'm handing them out, but I do not have enough hands to hand them out with. So you please all help me serve this fruit out to everybody so everybody can relish this fruit and then roll on the ground in ecstasy and be the happiest people in creation. And this is the Hare Krishna movement, chanting, feasting, and dancing. This is our process. So as devotees, our purpose is to reach out like that. And so otherwise, we are ordered to do so many things. We are ordered, you know, to get educated, to get a proper job, so that we can earn money, take care of the family, and enjoy unlimited sense gratification, or so-called unlimited sense gratification, especially in terms of variety. May not be unlimited, definitely not unlimited in experience, but in terms of variety, there are unlimited varieties of sense gratification like that. So that is happening, but really our ultimate purpose is Sankirtan, that we must reach out to other living entities with affection in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servants, like that. Gopir Bhartu, Padakamale, or Dasa Das, Anudasa. That each and every one of us are the servants of the servants of the servants, many times removed of those damsels of Braja who themselves are serving the supremely attractive couple of Radha and Krishna. In our line, we speak of Radha and Krishna, but there are other. There's another line that comes also, which are the servants of Lord Balaram and his consort, Revati, like that. So, Revati, Balaram. So they also have their gopis and then they're servants of the servants of the servants there as well. In fact, of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, 7 of them are controlled by them. 5 of them are controlled by Radha and Krishna. And so so anyway, but we're in Radharani's camp. We're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This is the difference between a Vaishnava is one who is considered to be the worshipper or follower of Vishnu, of Lord Narayan is described. And then those who are Krishna's followers are known as Krishnites. And those who follow Vaishnavism in the mood of Radharani or under the superintendence of Radharani are called Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Our line is of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is our purpose. And here we can see that Krishna has made the arrangement that the whole creation will allow us to serve with freedom. Because, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam here, the laws, these rules, these laws, do not control saintly persons. Now, the saintly persons themselves work under those laws, but they are not controlled by those laws. They are controlled by love of Krishna. They are controlled by Guru and Krishna like that, or Guru and Gauranga, Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga like that. So, this is the one of the most important points we can pick up from this, that Krishna loves us individually. Here in Dallas, I've started an organization outside of Hare Krishna, but because of the idea that we want to reach out to everybody, nobody should feel like we're trying to convert them to Hare Krishna. But it's all about Krishna. And in that organization, the two core principles are, please understand that everyone is a child of Krishna. And number two, always do everything solely for Krishna's pleasure. This is the Gopi statement, SKP. solely Krishna's pleasure. Sankirtan party also is SKP, as we can see. So like that. So with these two rules, we're reaching out to people. And amazing number of people, including people who are atheists, Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, are becoming interested in our science, because this science is a complete science. It's completely perfect. And so when applied properly, it actually affects every living entity. We have to just reach out in a way that is good. Now, why we set it up outside Hare Krishna was so that that the persons who approach us understand we're not trying to promote ISKCON, we're trying to promote Krishna consciousness. Now, we tell them that we come from ISKCON, we are ISKCON devotees, and so we are very, very dedicated to ISKCON, etc. But we're reaching out to everybody so that you can benefit from the philosophy of ISKCON, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And because we are the servants of the Lord and you are the children of the Lord, our purpose is to serve the children so that our master can become happy. Our Guru and Krishna are our masters. They can become happy, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we don't try to hide the fact that we are Hare Krishnas. But at the same time, we do not insist that they become Hare Krishnas. What we try to have them do, and we show them is the ultimate goal, is actually to come to know Krishna and to see Krishna face to face, which is an amazing effort, because that's the hardest thing to do, is for anyone to see Krishna actually face to face. Then Prabhupada makes very nice statements in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and other books that he has written how to see Krishna face to face. One example he gives is, if we are 100% 24 hours a day engaged in carrying out the instructions of Guru and Krishna, carrying out the instructions of the acharyas, then we are actually seeing Krishna face to face. So like that, he makes many beautiful statements like that, how to see Krishna face to face. And eventually we'll actually see Krishna face to face. And for some it might happen a little earlier, for some it might happen a little later. For some it'll happen, but for everyone it'll at least happen when we're leaving our body. At that time, Krishna does show himself face to face. And he's asked the question, why don't you show yourself earlier? Because it would be so much more relishable. And the answer he gives is, I did show myself, but you didn't see me. You didn't see me in the form of the deity. You didn't see me in so many other forms. But I also hold this form back because I don't want you to become proud and then to give up your Krishna consciousness like that. By becoming too proud like that. Hare Krishna, I'm going to stop here and ask if any of you'd like to say something, ask any questions.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for this wonderful point you discussed about when there is love, there should be freedom. Prabhu, like one, I had a query in sense I had to answer and I couldn't that time. Like when it is asked that ISKCON is, how do we tell them that ISKCON is not a religion that we are following?
That ISKCON is not a religion that we are following?
How is it like when someone says that is ISKCON a religion that you are following, or is it not? That how do we put that?
Okay, yes, good. Okay, so the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is what ISKCON represents, is actually a sangha of persons who follow Krishna consciousness. So it is a sangha of devotees, and the devotees are devoted to Krishna, devoted to Gauranga Mahaprabhu like that, Gaura Krishna like that. So actually what ISKCON represents is an organization of persons, a sangha of persons, an association, a society of persons who are practicing Krishna consciousness. The religion that we follow is love of Krishna. That is our religion. Religion, Prabhupada describes, is love of God. And he particularly wanted that God be referred to as Krishna so there's no confusion. Because in this world there's a lot of confusion. Who is God? And are there many gods and all this type of things, you know? So philosophically, and according to Vad, the answer is that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. and that we love Krishna. Love of Krishna is called religion. That is what religion really means, to love God, to love Krishna is religion. And so the religion that we follow is love of God. We can say them, and God, in his highest manifestation, is called Krishna because he is the all-attractive. All-attractive means he's the complete. He's completely perfect in his attraction and love that he has for us and that we have for him. So that is the religion that we actually follow. And what ISKCON is a society of devotees who have come together to learn Krishna consciousness, to actually apply Krishna consciousness, understand it and apply it nicely, and then to gain perfection by reaching out to others and teaching them, because it's to actually make them aware of this. Because in English there's a saying, the teacher is the best student. So this is how perfection comes. Perfection comes by reaching out to others and doing preaching. That's why Prabhupada said, preaching is life. When you preach, then you will have life. And when you have life, you will not feel discouraged and disappointed and lonely and all these other things that sometimes as devotees we feel because we're not fully enthusiastic in our reaching out to other persons, you know. Like, according to our Vedas, the purpose of life is to be happy and to give happiness to others, to be loved, to love and to be loved and to give love to others, to be devoted and serve others in devotion, to be Krishna consciousness, to be Krishna conscious, and to give out Krishna consciousness to others, like that, to have love of Krishna and to give love of Krishna to others, like that. So there's always this other part of the coin. There's one part of the coin is about me, but the other part of the coin is about others. So when we advance in our Krishna consciousness, we go through three stages. The first stage is all about me. The Kanishta phase is me, 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 me. Everything is me. It's about me. Not the deities, not others, it's me. And I have a relationship with the deities, but for me. Like that. That's the first stage. Then the second stage is, it is about us. Meaning, you know, it's about me and others, and we're trying to reach out to others also and help them. And the third phase is, it's about them. It's never about me. It's never about us. It's about them. Them means reaching out to others in a way that we're totally focused on the happiness of others, even to the extent of giving up our own happiness. That's where the tolerance part comes in. So you know, the reason a lot of people ask us about ISKCON is that they wonder whether this is a new religion or whether it's a cult or whether it's just one more, you know, pantha, like we say, or one more group who's talking about religion. And so you, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, let's choose one of them and this is going to be the one that I'll follow. But that is not what ISKCON is about. ISKCON is a sangha of devotees, and these devotees are very variegated. Each devotee is very individual. Each devotee has a very, very unique ways in expressing love, and also many generic ways in which we express love. So we have a lot of similarities, but we also have differences on how we love Krishna. And these differences are important because there are groups with the same differences. And so that way we can attract. And this is why every one of us must reach out to others. Because if we don't, there'll be people who will not be totally convinced about Krishna consciousness because they've not come to the same flavor that each and every one of us carries. So each of the flavors are going to get together. This is why we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though Shukadev Goswami's spiritual master was present, and his spiritual master, like four levels of spiritual masters, you know. Imagine if, you know, you are speaking and your spiritual master is there and Prabhupada is there and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is there and you know, Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj is there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is there. People wonder, why are you speaking? Why not one of them are speaking? And so this question was asked of the sages, and the answer that was given was, Krishna has designated each person to be touched by some particular person. And until you're touched by the person Krishna has designated, you will not feel complete satisfaction. This is why the Siksha Guru system is very important. One may have a Diksha Guru, and that Diksha Guru may have many thousands of disciples, But each of those disciples also has to have some Diksha Guru, that may be the Diksha Guru, but maybe somebody else also, that will totally touch them in a way that will fill in all the minor gaps so that one's Krishna consciousness becomes completely perfect and one has complete enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness, which is why Sita Priti Mataji is saying, I give a lot of freedom to the devotees in Dallas to do things because they express their individual taste, flavor in Krishna consciousness, and therefore many more people become attracted to Krishna consciousness, and that is our ultimate purpose, that everybody should become. And so become Krishna conscious and have full love of Krishna, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So when people approach you and say, you know, what is ISKCON, or are you following ISKCON, the religion of ISKCON? We explain this, that ISKCON is a society of devotees, and these devotees follow the only religion that exists in the universe, which is love of God. And according to scripture, Krishna is considered the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gauranga is Krishna himself coming to show us how we can become perfect servants, perfect devotees, perfect friends, perfect children, perfect lovers of God, like that. So he's come to show us that. Does that make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody else has any questions or any points you'd like to make? If not, thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate the fact that I was given the opportunity to speak. And I hope I can speak at other times as well. It's just a question of time, really, because some of the projects we're doing here are fairly large projects and takes a lot of time to get those projects off the ground and the team members organized and the general public enthused and sort of connected so that these Krishna conscious projects are actually are pleasing to the deities and the devotees like that, you know, everywhere. So please forgive me that I'm not able to speak as often as I would like to personally, but I will speak as often as I possibly can.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
In excellent
class, Hare Bhur, please give your association regularly. Dandat Pranam.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam, Agashya Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We were missing your association, but now you came back. So thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krish